Just a warning, this episode will contain spoilers. Come back to this episode once you've read It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey.
Hey besties, welcome back to Boozy Book Talk. I'm Andy.
I'm Ren.
And I'm Jen.
And welcome back.
Yay. We always do the yay. Yay.
I love it. It's like, what else do you do? Like, get into talking right away. You need something.
Right. Exactly. We need that, like, yeah, something in between.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really excited to talk about this because obviously we'll get into it later, but I don't even know my rating, so I maybe when we discuss it I'll be deciding off the bat. I don't know.
I fear so bad. I know.
I do too, honestly. I know.
I fear you guys are gonna get shit for it. Like, Jesus.
I will.
I usually
won't shit on people for having differing opinions than me on books that I like. But for some reason, I cannot express the, like, unexplainable connection I feel to Tessa Bailey.
Yeah, so you love her.
I live for this woman. So I feel personally attacked if you say anything bad. Just saying. So I cry, that's why.
I think it's funny because, I mean, you all know that I'll shit on it anyway. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
I'll shit on anything I disagree on.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah,
it's a given.
Whatever. I'm excited to see what you've guys been up to, because I feel like we haven't been talking, so we've all been busy, and Andy has updates for us. So
well, I mean, I have been busy too. I went to Disneyland for a couple days this week, saw Dua Lipa, Dua Peep. Also saw Jen at Dua Peep. We didn't see her together, but she also was there. But my update is I have a cat, but it's not that exciting.
Cat mom.
I've had her, technically speaking. She's my family cat. I just didn't have her myself.
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay. I was all excited. You probably like went to adopt a cat.
I've been wanting a pet for a while, but basically the reason I got her, so we got her when I was in high school still. And she's kind of like fluctuated between like being my dad's cat when he was like first took his job where he is now, like, cause he was a little separated from us. So he would have her when like we weren't all together and stuff. And then when my brother was in college, he took the cat. And so she's been kind of my brother's cat mostly, but like still like our family cat for a while. But his apartment recently flooded, actually. And yeah, and they're fine. Everything's fine in their apartment, but they're not supposed to have her. It's like a pet-free apartment complex. But because she's a cat, like, it's been low-key enough to where it's never been an issue. But oh, here she comes. Hey, queen.
Oh, cute. She's cute. What's her name?
This is Peppermint Patty.
Love it. Fun fact.
Oh, my girl. Sorry. She's just walking all over my laptop.
Fun fact. All of Andy's pets are like named after the Peanuts gang.
Yeah. And there's more. So we call her Pepper though, which is especially funny because I feel like Pepper for pets is usually like they're black and white.
You call her Patty. I think Patty's cute. But anyway.
But she. Yeah. Patty feels too human though.
I'm obsessed with human names for animals. Don't ask me why.
I say that, but like my one dog's name is Sally. Like, that feels very human, but it's normal for me. But anyway, my brother had her, but then wasn't technically supposed to. And then when their apartment flooded, the landlord found out that they had the cat and was like, get rid of her. So my brother was like, ? So yeah, but she sadly has to hang out in literally only my bedroom, not the entire like house that I have, because the woman I live with and her two kids, they're all allergic. So she
wasn't asked that.
They're very what? Yeah,
allergic.
No.
Yeah. So she has to like hang out with just me and myself. But it's been a couple of days and we're vibing. So that's been fun. But yeah, her, the reason she's Peppermint Patty is, like Jen said, they're all, my pets are Peanuts gang. But we also specifically named her Peppermint Patty because we got her on Christmas. My aunt and uncle found her on the street. She was a street walking cat. And no, we, like, they'd posted like signs and stuff for her and looked at all like the lost cat signs that they could find, but never found the owner. And so eventually we were like, we'll take her. And that was on Christmas Day that we said that. So
oh, Peppermint, that's so cute. That's so cute.
Yeah. So me and my girl Pepper. That's my life update.
A Disney duo and a cat. I think that's pretty eventful since last time.
Literally. And that was all in this week, literally.
Oh, wow. That was all over. That was all after you said your life was boring and you don't do anything.
I know, what the hell,
like,
because other than the past few days my life is boring and I don't do anything, but I've been busy now. But now it's back to nothing.
All right, well Jen, your turn, since we want some updates.
My life has been okay. No, I went to the Dula Peep concert too. Dula Peep. What do we think about Dula Peep? Anyways, you know Wendy Williams.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I actually. That's literally. Are you serious?
Wait, you
that's
don't...
where the
wait.
That's where the Dula Peep thing comes from.
Yeah.
I don't know the video. I just know
it's Wendy Williams. That's why
I was supposed to be in the video.
She calls her that, but I didn't never seen like a clip.
She was like,
"What do you think about Dula Peep?"
Yeah.
She got her name wrong like a million times. Anyway.
Yeah, and like so, the producers even were like, yeah, Dula Peep.
You keep saying Dula Peep and it's Dua Lipa. and then she just kept saying Dula Peep.
Like, yeah, literally. She just ignored it. Wendy Williams is something else.
Anyways, so I went to the Dula Peep concert. Yay. And I saw Andy and our friend D.
We didn't even plan it, by the way.
No, we were like texting the whole time, but like we didn't actually.
And we did plan. We
were gonna meet.
I was driving. That's why you were texting.
Yeah. I was texting Dee, but like, I think we would have met eventually either way. Like, hey, like, where you at? Like after or whatever.
Yeah.
But we just happened to run into each other, and then we just took pictures.
Yeah.
I didn't want to at first, but
no. Well, she's taking pictures of her sister, and Dee and I both saw her sister first, and we're like, that looks somewhat like Jen. Like her sister. And then we were like, but neither of us said anything to each other because we were like, how embarrassing if it's not.
Yeah.
And then we both waited until we saw a photographer. Lo and behold, who's the photographer? Miss Jen herself. And so then we're like, oh my God, hey, like, let's take pictures. And Jen goes, no. And then 2 seconds later,
of course.
Jen goes, shut up. She goes, let's take pictures of the three of us. And we're like, that's literally what we said 2 seconds ago.
You guys are like standing like you're afraid of each other.
And she's
That's what I said.
I didn't want to block the freaking lyrics.
We had to be pictures, like, please. We have pictures that Dee didn't share that were all together.
We're closer. Yeah.
Why would you share that one? You guys look you're like strangers.
Because I personally think she liked how
she looked the best in it. We can
exactly.
Say it.
Exactly. Okay. I did not like how, but then again,
I think you guys all looked really good.
I didn't post anything, but I'm gonna post,
but I wanna share the pictures with you guys to see if you guys like them.
Oh, I mean, I don't necessarily care enough if it's you're posting it, but yeah.
Okay, then I'll just post whatever then.
Yeah, go for it.
Just post the one you look the best in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Dee did.
first.
No, anyways, yeah, so I saw Dula Peep, and then I pretty much didn't do anything. I just work. That's all I do right now these days.
Yeah, because now you're back to work.
Literally. What about you, Renny?
Honestly, like, every episode, I'm boring. Like, I literally just really hate my life recently. Like, I just feel like it's very overwhelming.
Why are you acting like you didn't go out this past weekend?
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't mean I don't hate my life.
Oh, yeah, fair.
Yeah, thank like you.
Isla. I like you. Week. It's Ren.
Oh.
Wait, I also went out this past weekend, so it applies to both of us. We both said
I thought you were saying that to me because I was going like this.
No, I was talking to Ren.
I'm embarrassed.
You should be. Shut the fuck up. Anyway, you should be. Like. yeah, I went out this past weekend. I visited my friend Natalie. He lives in Hoboken. So it was like fun.
You visited Nat?
Yeah, I haven't went to her place yet. I was going to go during spring break anyway, but I just was too busy because I had an exam when I got back. So I never did, and she was busy. But then we had another friend
planning a visit. Duh.
Yeah.
I forgot that happened.
And that's been planned for like a couple months. So I was like, you know, even though my life sucks and I probably shouldn't go because I have something I got to do, I'm going to go because I can't back down. Like, I think it's so rude to cancel plans when you've had it planned for so long, you know? So I like am very against that. But anyway, so I sucked it up and I went, but it actually ended up being a lot of fun. And I'm happy I went. It like made me feel like, I don't know, I feel like I sit in every weekend. So, but yeah, that's so fun. That was fun. Other than that, I'm just stressed. It's going to pass. So much as like I hate my life right now, because I feel like I'm so busy and like I'm never like, I feel like I'm not like I'm doing things, but like it's not, and the load never gets like lower. Like I have an exam Tuesday, didn't start studying yet. Have work I gotta do, but I'm like, okay, it'll pass. It'll like eventually calm down eventually, you know? So like it'll pass. My bar application's due this week. So I'm basically done.
Oh
that
my god.
Now. Yeah.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah. I still have some stuff I have to do, but to like have a lower payment, it's due Thursday. So I'm turning it on Thursday.
Yeah, you gotta.
Yeah, it's $675 is the starting payment. And then it goes up to like $9.
That's the low payment?
Yeah. And then 2 weeks after that mid payment, it goes up to doubles. So it goes to like $1,300 for an application. Yeah. So but other than that, life's just, it's life. And it'll be fine. And this weekend, tomorrow, I'm my little brother's sponsor for his confirmation. So that'll be fun.
Yay. I and love that.
Yeah. He literally told the priest, like, you know how, I don't know if you guys, are you both Catholic?
Not at all.
Oh, well, Jen, do you remember when you, sorry. So when you take your confirmation, they like, you have a sponsor and you have to tell like the bishop, like why you choose your sponsor.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He literally, we went to a practice thing like 2 weeks ago, and he told the sponsor like, "Oh, I wanted to pick one of my siblings, I couldn't decide, so I flipped a coin and she won." And the bishop, the priest was like, "She like a good Catholic? Is she a good person?" And he was like, "Yeah."
I'm like, "What are you Catholic? Why would you say that?"
He doesn't even think. Like, he just is very like, I thought it was funny, and it's true. I'm like, you have to lie a little bit. Like,
you have to like embellish the truth sometimes.
So we'll see how that goes tomorrow if he remembers.
How old is he?
13.
Oh, he's a baby. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. So I have that tomorrow during the morning-ish afternoon. And then one of my best friends got engaged in January. So we're all going to be together tomorrow because our other best friend comes back from Mississippi where she was still at school. So we're finally going to celebrate her engagement. And then Sunday at the Harry Potter exhibit.
I love
that. So like this will be cheer me up a little bit, I think.
See, you have exciting stuff to come.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you know, like I feel like, you know, just make use of your weekends. Like, if I sit in and do work, I'll still be miserable. So where does that leave me? Might as well go out and see people. I don't know. So that's about it. But I'm excited for the Harry Potter exhibit. That's like
I'm excited for you. That's so cool. Where is it?
It's in Philly, the Franklin Institute. They have they have a lot of exhibits they always have, and it's very like an interactive type of museum, but they have ones that are there. Like kind of traveling exhibits. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had one like a couple years ago that I went to, like Titanic. So that was interactive. They had King Tut ones. And now they have the Harry Potter. I think this is like the first one in the United States.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'll send you guys pictures. I'll probably be posting on Instagram too.
As you should.
Yeah.
Of course.
At books with @Ren.
Exactly. Check me out.
All right, besties, moving on. What are we currently reading? Andy, you want to start?
Well, I literally just finished, bit on the nose here, It Happened One Summer So I'm deciding what my next current read will be. As I was finishing this up, I was deciding, might jump back into beach read. Let's see the vibe.
Let's give it another go. Every time we're on this podcast, you're reading
past three episodes.
Yeah.
Might give it another go and finally freaking bite the bullet and finish that damn book.
I'm going to end up choosing beach read as a book just so you could finish it.
And that's the week I leave the
podcast. Probably the only way she'll read it.
Well, then it'll just...
If you ever want me out of a podcast, just be like, beach read's our next read.
All right, noted. I'll add that next time.
I'm kidding. No, I might read that because I'm enjoying reading again. So I'll probably give it another go, but I also might read The Love Hypothesis just given, because
I need updates.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Yeah, just send updates to us because, oh my God.
We're a priority.
Jen, what are you reading? You've been reading a lot.
I am.
See, love it for you.
I realized that I'm not, okay. Is it really a slump if you just don't read? Or is it a slump if you just can't get into a book?
I feel like it's I consider it something like two ways. Like one,
either.
Or like either? You just can't get into any book. Fine, or fine. You don't have time to read and you just feel like that, like if you don't have time and you don't have, then you don't feel like reading. Like that's how I feel. Like I don't have time, but I also don't feel like it.
Okay. Yeah, because I was confused. I don't know why I was confused, because I felt that a slump was like when you just couldn't get to a book. Like, ugh, like no matter how hard to try, like I can't. But I realized, wait, no, it's a slump because like you're reading slumped. Like
You just weren't in the mood for that
like, book. Yeah. But anyways, the last book I read was From Look Up With Love by Mariana Zapata. And I loved it. I loved it so much. I reread it like twice right after.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited to read that. I started it and like
I don't want you to read it.
Why? I'm gonna read it. I started it like a couple months ago, but then
you started it?
Yeah, remember I posted on my thing. Yeah. But then I only got like two chapters into it. Then I stopped because I just didn't feel like reading on my Kindle.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
But I'm gonna go back. I still have it on my Kindle. I just
wasn't
in the mood for a Kindle read, you know?
Oh my God. You need to send me all the updates. If you guys ever read one of her stories, I need updates, like actually.
I haven't read any of them yet. Have you?
I know none of you have.
I haven't.
Like it's literally, I'm the only one.
Yeah, that's the one I want to read the most though. Is From Luke Love.
I love it. And Wall Winnipeg. I want to.
Yeah. No, you should.
Would you say From Luke Love is your favorite?
I don't know, because I love Wall of Winnipeg, and I think they're tied. They're tied for me.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like everybody puts them too as like their favorite.
Yeah,
like Kimmy Books is that's her favorite book.
I think Wait for It, is very underrated. I think that's
like, those are my top one, right?
Yes, those are my top three favorite books from that author. But anyways, I loved that book, and then recently I started just skimming through It Happened One Summer just to refresh. And then next I'm gonna read Hook, Line, and Sinker.
I lied. That's my next read. Love it. I
was surprised.
I beat
read. I was surprised you didn't say that. I was surprised.
Yeah, another episode. Like, okay. I'm a dummy. Sorry. It's because I don't own it
yet. You are a dummy.
I ordered it, but it hasn't come yet. And I was looking over at my bookshelf and I saw Beach Read and Love Hypothesis sitting on top. So I was like, Hook, Line, and Sinker. Sorry.
Well, I saw somebody on TikTok like saying like that. They thought Hook, Line, and Sinker were so much better than It Happened One Summer. And then other people were like, that's not true. So I'm really excited to see what you guys are gonna think.
I'm excited to see what you're gonna think about this book.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I feel like I've only ever seen people say that they like it more, but like not in a way that they didn't like It Happened One Summer, but like in a they loved It Happened One Summer and then they loved Hook, Line, and Sinker even more.
Yeah, I saw the comment was like, you guys lied to me. I'm like, he just didn't like it. But I was surprised. I'd never seen a better review on that one.
I think it's because it's also new. So like, it's like fresh and it's like, oh my God, it's a new experience. Yeah. So everybody's excited. It's that factor too. That makes me be like, it's better.
Yeah.
What are you currently reading, Ren?
So I'm like in the biggest book slump. I've only been reading to like for the episode basically. Like that's, and if it wasn't for the episode, I would not be like pushing myself to read. But yeah, I just feel like I've been busy and like when I'm I have time to read, it's like 1 a.m. and I'm like, I read a page and I fall asleep. So it's like kind of a mix of both. But yeah, I read It Happened One Summer. And then of course, I think I mentioned this last time, Deathly Hallows. I read a little bit more in that.
Yeah.
And then I did read like a chapter or two today of this book because I want to honestly finish it by next week so I can give it back to the person I lent it from. The Last Thing He Told Me.
Oh my God. Ren, you were supposed to buddy read that with me, fake.
I forgot. I was like, I see her Friday. I don't know when I'm going to see her. But honestly, just from like the two chapters, it like hooked me in right away. And I feel like I haven't felt like that in so long with a book.
Yeah.
Like immediately.
You'll have to tell me how it is.
Yeah, yeah, I have no clue about. So, but the prologue, like in the first chapter, too, like brought me in so quick. So I'm really
excited. It's a mystery, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Like mystery thriller, I thought.
Oh, yeah, like so you can tell that like it has to do with like a like either like a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a married couple. So like there is like a relationship in there, but it's I don't think it's a love
probably
story.
Not about them. Like,
yeah, like I was thinking like maybe it could be like Verity, it's I guess it's a psychological thriller, but there's like a romance subplot. Like I didn't know if that's how it was, but we'll see. I'll let you know. But I am excited. I love going into like books blind, especially like this. So yeah, I mean, Deathly Hallows and this are currently what I'm reading.
Cute, love.
Cute. Love it. So now what are we drinking?
Ooh. I am drinking, I'm back to Truly's, watermelon kiwi.
So true. As you should. I saw TikTok saying that Truly released vodkas.
I need to look into that because I haven't seen
it. I was hoping I'd find them at the store today, but they didn't have them. Like probably like a liquor store thing.
Yeah. Like vodka or like the like kind of
high noon. No, vodka. Just like flavored vodka, obviously, but
interesting.
Yeah.
So what are you drinking, Andy? Jeez.
I'm having a spiked Arnold Palmer.
Ooh.
I love them. I added more lemonade too though, because I honestly just like love this lemonade that I have. It's the Trader Joe's lemonade, which is like the topest tier lemonade, this bad boy. And I wanted to have some. And also it like had like a weird aftertaste that I wasn't living for, and so I was like, let me just add more lemonade. And now all I taste is Arnold Palmer. There's no alcohol in this, so I'm living.
What are you drinking, Rennie?
I'm changing it up. I just have a rum and coke, nothing fancy.
Classic.
Yeah, love it. I honestly, when I first started drinking, I liked rum and coke, but now my go-to like drink at the bar is whiskey ginger or vodka Sprite. But honestly, maybe I'll order whiskey or rum and coke tomorrow. I haven't had that in a minute, so
yeah. Except today, having one right now.
Yes, before right now. Yeah, before right now, it's been a minute.
Right.
Back to the matter at hand, why we're all here today to discuss It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey. So a quick summary. Piper Bellinger is fashionable, influential, and her reputation as a wild child means the paparazzi are constantly on her heels. When too much champagne and an out-of-control rooftop party lands Piper in the slammer, her stepfather decides enough is enough, so he cuts her off and sends Piper and her sister to learn some responsibility running their late father's dive bar in Washington. Piper hasn't even been in Westport for 5 minutes when she meets big bearded sea captain Brendan, who thinks she won't last a week outside of Beverly Hills. The fun-loving socialite and the gruff fisherman are polar opposites, but there's an undeniable attraction simmering between them. Yet, as she reconnects with her past and begins to feel at home in Westport, Piper starts to wonder if the cold, glamorous life she knew is what she truly wants. LA is calling her name, but Brendan, in this town full of memories, may have already caught her heart. So, as I already mentioned, I have a weird obsession with Tessa Bailey. So, I'm a goner.
Deserved.
Yeah, I'm a goner. I knew I was going to like this book before I even read it. And guess what? When I read it... I did like this book. I love this book, in fact. If you can see, I literally ran out of pink tabs because I was using pink tabs for like cute relationship moments. I ran out of pink tabs And it's a brand new pack of tabs.
Oh my God.
I got mine from the dollar store.
You better have quotes ready for us this episode. I love the quotes.
But I just loved it. Even though I have a weird, undeniable obsession with Tessa Bailey, this is only my third Tessa Bailey book still. And I don't know if it's my favorite. I do think Fix Her Up is my favorite. But
what?
What one?
Yeah. Fix Her Up. Okay.
I forgot that was her.
But also, like,
I forgot she wrote that.
You read it?
No, I just remember she recommended it recently.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a sucker for Brother's Best Friend, and that's Brother's Best Friend. So,
gotta read that one.
But this is Grumpy Sunshine, friends to lovers sorts of vibes, and it did not disappoint. 5 out of 5. Brendan and Piper are just so precious. I loved Piper's character growth. One thing I love about Tessa is I feel like she's like relatable, but in a not annoying way, if that makes sense.
Agree.
Like, I feel like people may argue with that.
Wait, yep. did Tessa mean Piper?
No, I mean Tessa in her writing. So it's a trend. It's a trend I've seen in her books. But Piper as well is obviously where the relatability comes from. And I just love that about her writing. And I love how contemporary it is without being cringy. Like, it's not, I never read any of her books and I'm like, that was unnecessary, even though like there are other authors that I do love, right, and I love the book overall, but like there are still little moments where I'm like, this felt weird.
Yeah,
you know. But anyway, loved it. I give it a 5 out of 5, easy peasy lemon squeezy. Big fan.
I but love also that
I knew that was happening.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I love your love for Tessa Bailey. I personally gave this book a 4. I loved this book and I thought it was really great. I think it's a good, like, if you're in a reading slump, I think this is a very good book to go back to get you out of that slump. I love this book. I also loved the fact that Piper was based on a show that I love. She was based on Alexis Rose, who's a character on Schitt's Creek. And I, after knowing that fact, I just couldn't get Alexis Rose out of my head. Like, I just, all her mannerisms, like, I just thought of Alexis Rose and I loved it. Like Alexis Rose, Piper, like you mentioned, she had a huge growth in her character, and I loved that she was able to, like, obviously she comes from like the riches, you know, she's very rich, she's very like Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian rich, like socialite. And I loved that, her in this situation, like, she ended up seeing like the valuable things in life, but also I never saw her as like pretentious or like, I just feel like, I feel like sometimes those types of characters are portrayed a certain way where they're kind of bitchy, you know?
Yeah, but she was just spoiled. Like, that
she
was
just spoiled. She was just, but she was so down sweet and genuine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what I loved also, I loved Hannah in this book because that's why I'm excited to read her book, because she was so protective of her sister. And I loved that because Piper would literally, like, people would say the rudest things to her and she'd just like take it with a smile. And I feel like Hannah, she saw that and she was so protective. Like, even in the beginning, when Brendan was so rude to her, like, I think this is just him being a grump, but like, I don't know. But Hannah was so quick to just be like, hey, shut up, bully. Like, don't bully her. And then I also love to see Hannah and Fox's like little Easter eggs around the book. So I'm just excited for their book.
Yeah, me too.
And what'd you rate it? Oh, I rated
it. Oh, 4 out of 5. You said
yeah. 4 out of 7. Also, I'm a sucker for Grumpy Sunshine. And I loved that for him. Like, he knew from the get-go that he liked her, but he couldn't connect it to his brain yet. Like, it didn't process yet. Like, in his heart, he knew that he felt something, but it was just like him figuring out like what those feelings were. Feeling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, he thought it was just like him being annoyed at, like, annoyed with her. Like, why do we keep on thinking about her? She's annoying. But like,
yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah, you like her. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think like us as readers were able to like see that, but him just seeing him figure it out, I loved it. And then I also loved that he was rich.
Oh my God. Yeah. I know.
Big, big fan of that one.
Exactly. What about you, Ren? The moment of truth.
Oh my God. So this is my first Tessa Bailey book and I just like did not know what to expect. Like I had a feeling she writes like smuttier rom-coms. So I did like that aspect. I was like expecting it, but I was not expecting that she did write smuttier rom-coms and I kind of was expecting it, but not really like the butt stuff. I was like, whoa. she stuck her finger in his ass. Love that. Yeah, but so in the beginning I didn't like Piper, but like I knew I was going to eventually, like, but I like she's supposed to be the LA snob and I'm like, I hope like it doesn't continue, like I hope she kind of grows out of it and that's the point of it. But she did, and she really grew on me and I really grown to like her. Like I love when you kind of see later in the book when everybody's saying like how like kind of vouching for her, like Opal finally leaves her house and has fun, the other girls at the bar, like she was offering to help them with makeup, she walks the old man to the museum every morning, like she's like such a sweetheart. And yeah, and I loved him. I did not think I was gonna like him so much because he's a fisherman and I'm like, that just to me is an ick in real life.
Yeah,
like
100%. I don't even see him that way though, like I just it's just something like a side thought.
Yeah, but I love when the story is so well written, when like two polar opposites date. I love that, and they were truly two polar opposites. But yeah, I liked it. I mean, I feel like maybe Tessa Bailey writes too contemporary. Like I hate like the very like this is like so annoying. It's like an annoying thing to like complain about. Andy, don't kill me. I just hate when like certain things like are mentioned where it becomes too modern.
Like what?
You know? Like no. I can't read, think of the exact
don't read word. Window shopping.
Yeah, don't read Window Shopping.
By Tessa Bailey.
I love that book.
She talks about the pandemic.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not reading that.
It's not an active part of the story, but it just like sets.
See, mind. I'm actually curious. Like, I don't mind that.
I don't mind either.
Like, it's not like it's like, oh my god, let's not talk about the pandemic. It's taboo. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care if like it's in shows. I don't care if like I don't care. Why do people care so much, Ren?
I don't know. I just don't like.
I'm be the spokesperson just, for like, everybody.
It dates it. Like it dates things and I like I hate when you read like something and they're describing the outfit like or just trends and then like in 5 years you read it and you're like I 5 years I don't want to be thinking back to like pandemic and like reading romance books mentioning the pandemic. That's just like a personal thing for me.
I think a lot of people don't like it because it's like ruins the escapism of it because people like turn to shows and movies and stuff to escape like the pandemic in particular.
Like, my brother is very, my brother's very particular with it. He hates it in TV shows. I'm like, it just depends. Like, if you mention, like some people hate when you mention, like, Tinder, like, by name. Like, yeah. But if you mention, like, dating app, like, I feel like that doesn't age. Like, I don't know. People don't use Tinder anymore. So, like, it ages. But that's just, like, a minor thing, whatever. But I did like her writing. I didn't think I was going to like it when I was first reading it, but it grew on me. And yeah, I did like Brendan and Piper and I'm excited for Hannah's story because I loved seeing how like her and Fox had like that record shopping thing in common and they were friends and they were like, and he's like the guy who gets all the girls and she was like turned off by that.
He's the playboy.
So yeah, mm-hmm. I'm excited how that's going to go. But yeah, I didn't rate it. I can't think of a rating. Off the top of my head, I'm going to give it like a 3.5.
I'll live with it, I guess.
Sorry, Andy.
I might give it lower, like a 4.5 out of 5, and then a 5 out of 5. But I literally finished it like just a couple hours ago, so like right now it is a 5 out of 5 in my head. But like, it probably in actuality is probably like 4.5 because like I do think
you just read it for the first time.
Yeah,
I thought you read this before.
No.
Oh wow. Okay. I don't know why I thought that.
but because like if I compare it to like Fixer Up, like I said, I feel like I have to give it a little bit lower, but I do think it's probably still overall like pretty close with 5.5, maybe 4.75.
It's a good book.
And I think
it's a good book.
Personally, like, I don't know what it is. Like I said this last episode, like I can't get into rom-coms recently. And I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like maybe if I read this and Spanish Love Deception months ago, I might have felt differently. You know what I'm saying?
I think you would have.
Yeah, like, I just recently, I just can't get in. Like, the past, like, 3 or 4 romance books I've read, I'm not obsessed. And I think it just might, I don't know what.
And but Jen also made a good point recently that you do tend to favor rom-droms over rom-coms.
I do. Yeah. And, like, this and Special Deception are very much rom-coms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Christina Lauren, but, like, some of her rom-coms.
Like, it literally even says as a
Netflix
on the cover, like, it's like you're reading a Netflix rom-com, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, like, to a T, exactly.
Literally, it yeah. It's not that I don't like them, I do. I just feel like I have to be really in the mood for it. Like, I feel like I mentioned Shipped last episode. Like, Shipped is very much a rom-com. And I did like in this story, like, there was, like, the drama. Like, I love when, like, love a little good fight. So I love that. And like it made me like so sad when he left thinking that she was gonna move back to LA. So like that like tugged my heartstrings.
That hurt. Yeah. That hurt.
That hurt.
Yeah. And I'm like, she was just trying to help an old man. Like
I know. But it's also because they had just talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that was such a movie thing. That was such a movie thing to happen.
So movie.
Like the airport, we're running to the airport.
They're boarded. But I loved that it didn't drag on like conflict. I feel like a lot of times conflict can like drag on and you're just like, oh my God, like I get it. It's conflicting, whatever. You're upset with each other. I like that this, like they both quickly realized where they were in the wrong, where the partner was in the wrong.
Yeah.
And just like accepted it and moved on.
I agree. Yeah. Also, I want to go back to something. I know, Ren, you mentioned that you didn't like her in the beginning because she was a snob. And, okay, I understand that. But at the same time, I have to disagree. Only because I found her endearing the whole time. Like, she was so, like, yeah, she was rich.
She's so blissfully unaware.
Yes. She had, like, a specific demeanor about her that, like, she wasn't malicious, like she, you know, like mm-hmm. she was not like that at all, and I loved her. Like she was so like living in her own world, you know. She was just Piper and Piper and Hannah living in their world, you know.
Yeah,
like it was I found her very endearing. I didn't find her snobby.
Yeah, I never thought she was like, hey, I didn't think she was bitch or anything, or like snobby. Like I was just like, I don't really feel like
this is. You didn't connect to her.
For her. But like obviously, once you see that she really like isn't like that, and which is just like a product of her like surroundings, like she really grows on you. And I like I did really like her eventually. I don't know. I feel like I am, and Jen's like a main character warrior. Like I can be picky with girl main characters because like I always want to like them, so like guys, like I'm like I want to like them too, but girls I'm always like that's like the one I want to like the most.
You feel and, more like, let down if like you don't like them.
What happened?
I said you feel like more let down if you don't like them.
Yeah, exactly. I think that like ruins the whole book for me.
Yeah,
but like I don't have like a main character I hated besides I couldn't stand 1,000 Way Kisses. I hated both.
I knew you were gonna say that, but yeah, fair.
Other than that, like I always eventually grew to love the character, so I really had no complaints. But I obviously with Piper, I loved her eventually. So
I feel like I'm the same way. I tend to be like a more main character apologist than main character hater. But again, 1,000 Way Kisses was just like insufferable to me. 1,000 Boy Kisses was
to me.
Her name was Piper too.
Her name is Poppy.
Poppy. I knew it was a P name that also was.
They were both insufferable. I think he was more insufferable than she was.
Oh yeah.
110%.
It was him.
Yeah, he was. He was the fucking worst.
For me, I feel like okay. I put myself, okay, I feel like it's easy to judge main characters because, you know, like, they're the main character of the story. But also, I feel like you have to understand that, like, not, I don't know, like, people don't see it from their perspective. And also, like, people don't understand that, like, sometimes readers know things that the main character doesn't. You know what I mean? So it's like, how do you expect the main character to know something when... Yeah,
the whole point of the book is that they don't.
Exactly. Like, they're figuring it out. They're going to have conflicts. And I feel like people just blame the main character more and side with the guy regardless because they love the guy, even though the guy is wrong.
This reminded me, I guess how I get people who don't like miscommunication tropes all every time. Sometimes it's just like an internal conflict. Like, I always think of like The Dare with by Al Kennedy. I think it's The Dare.
Yeah. I don't know which
last one with Connor and Taylor.
Yes.
Yes, that was The Dare. Yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of like that. People hated her. I thought she was so annoying. And I'm like, well, you don't know how she's thinking or how she feels. So I get what you mean. Like, I feel like kind of gotta think, like, not just how you would be in the situation or like how that person makes you feel.
Exactly.
This is gonna sound so annoying, but as a person who like enjoys acting. And like grew up like wanting to be an actor, really. I always like pictured myself acting in the role of the main character. So like instead of like putting myself in the main character, which I feel like a lot of people do. And like because of that, they like think like, well, I wouldn't do that. So like I don't like that you're doing that. I've always been like riding the wave with them, if that makes sense.
I agree.
And I feel like that's kind of why I tend to be fully right there with the main character because I'm just like, yeah, spilled. Exactly. Also another point I wanted to make, because Ren also mentioned this about him being a fisherman, something that I do find very enjoyable about Tessa's writing is she always does very unconventional jobs, which I love because I'm tired of reading about the same old boring lawyer, the same old boring whatever, blah blah blah. Ren. He's a fisherman in this. Sorry, I wasn't meaning that.
She knows I'm teasing.
Like, I know, but like I love that he is a fisherman and she's a socialite. Like socialite is a little bit more common too, but still, like in Fix Her Up, she's a freaking party clown. Like, where have you ever read a book where a main character is a party clown?
What?
And it's like precious. It's not like I thought it, at first when I read that I was like, you're lying, a party clown. And then I was like, wait, this is actually like so cute. And then like he's a baseball player, which is still also a little bit more common, but because it's athlete.
We're used to like the office people. Like
exactly. Or like in window shopping, like he owns like a huge like department store. And then she decorates windows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I've never read a book about a window decorator. I've never read a book about party clown. I've never read a book about a fisherman. Like I love that.
Yeah. Never thought I would find a fisherman endearing.
I love him. I love Brendan.
Yeah, I love him.
Exactly. And it's like so cool because I feel like it is so well researched because like I feel like a lot of it is genuinely authentic to randomly. I wasn't even talking about the book, but like I was recently talking to my brother about fishermen. And he brought up the conversation and he was just talking about how they make so much money off of like one load of crab fishing. And I was like, how do you know that?
and then he read this book. That's what happened.
Yeah, exactly. And he's talking about how like it's like one of the most dangerous jobs out there, but it's like a job that like you don't think about being so dangerous. And I was like, again, how do you know that? So it's like, I mean, maybe those are simple things you can Google, but still, mad respect for that, Tessa Bailey, because I wouldn't put the effort into Google fisherman.
Yeah, it's pretty creative to like think of different jobs.
Yeah. And like, because she's been on like the press tour for Hook, Line, and Sinker, she posted a TikTok. Cause that's part of why I love Tessa, is I love her TikToks.
She's so interactive.
She's so funny.
She's so interactive. She's so funny. While on her press tour though for Hook, Line, and Sinker, Tessa Bailey went to the Pacific Northwest and went to the town that it might actually be Westport. I don't actually know, but, and like did a little video where she went around town and like did the little spots that either are like actual places or like the buildings that like inspired it. Like there's one building that's like an abandoned warehouse sort of vibe, and she was like, isn't this like the perfect no name? And I was like,
oh my god,
so cute. And it's like, maybe I'm just because I like her more, so it's like less annoying because someone else maybe watching her is like,
no, I feel like she meets creative and like she acts like an author, and like you're the reader, like there's a barrier there. And like, yeah. I don't know, like it's still your job. So certain other TikTokers, they just take it too far. Like you,
yeah.
If that that's makes cute. Sense. So is she like your favorite author currently?
I think currently at least, yeah.
Love that.
Love that for you.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I love that you love her that much.
Tessa Bailey, I am your biggest fan.
That's literally. Like, I feel like you feel that way how I feel about Christina Lauren. Obviously, Colleen, but I don't count her because everybody knows everybody in the universe loves Colleen. But it's how I feel about Christina Lauren. Like, I'll literally read their grocery lists. I love them.
They're grocery lists.
Ever since I read The Fault in Our Stars, I always say that because I love that line.
I didn't realize it's from The Fault in Our Stars, but I do love that you say that always.
She's obsessed with the author.
That one author, yeah.
She writes in the letter and she says, frankly, I'd even read your grocery lists. And she like goes on about that. But I think it's so cute. But anyway.
That is a cute line.
I was kind of shocked. You guys loved her in the beginning. So I feel like sometimes like people hate like the stereotypical things, like the stereotypical LA girl. Like being from LA, I was curious like how Jen was going to see that.
Honestly, I think it's because I understand the humor that I didn't take it like
it was such seriously. Like an influencer LA type. And you always say, obviously go on about like, it's different than how I know LA. But I thought that was
interesting. Yeah, it is. I do. Yeah. I do think LA is more cultural than people think it is. But but reading Piper, I didn't feel any type of way only because I understand. Like I said, I knew who she was based off of.
Yeah.
And and I just know that type of humor. And I love that type of humor. Like I live for it. Like I thought while you
know it's satirical.
Yeah, exactly. It's very satirical. So I took it that way. And while you think she was insufferable sometimes, I thought it was funny, like the whole time. Like I'm just like,
me too.
This girl. Like, wow, like this would happen to you.
When she fucking set a fire. Yes. Brendan said it. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
No, like I mentioned my tab color for funny things. I literally tapped the first page with that because it just already had me laughing when it was like her longest relationship on record over in a blink of an eye, 3 weeks of her life wasted. Yep. I was just like, obviously I know that's like the type of person she is, but just like the setup, like the dramatic kind of setup just for that. Like, as I'm like, man, oh man, I'm gonna live.
Andy, since you're so obsessed, and Jen too, what was like your favorite part? So I feel like a lot of, like there was like really, I feel like I liked seeing that we can see the relationship. Like, you know, in a lot of books, how like it's all this drama, then they date and the book's over. Like I like that we actually have to see them date.
Mm-hmm.
I was like kind of shocked. I was like, okay, like it's kind of, we have like half a book left and they just started dating, like we're gonna get some drama. But like what was like your favorite part?
I don't know that I have a specific favorite part, but like one of the first things that comes to my mind when you say that is just like a kind of motif that I guess is used throughout is the recharging station. I thought that was the sweetest thing on planet Earth. And like when it initially happened and she's like, oh, really? So you want to put me in my recharging station? And he's like, wait, you're what? And then he realizes what she means. And then like, it just kept being reused. That ripped my heart out and freaking stepped on it. Let me tell you.
The way I hated that.
You hated that?
I hated it. I was like, I'm like, oh my God. I really hate anything.
The episode.
You guys know that. Anyway.
End of the episode. We're done. Anyway, I really thought that was so sweet. Ren.
I know.
Who hurt you?
I wasn't mentioning it after. I just say, like, I don't know, corny things. I'm just
it is corny. See, but that's why like I'm a sucker for Tessa Bailey's writing because like Netflix rom-com to a T.
No, exactly. It literally was a Netflix rom-com.
Guess what I'm
happening in my head.
Guess what I'm a sucker for? A Netflix cheesy ass rom-com, baby. So yeah, I thought that was really sweet, though. I also just, like, loved him calling her, like, honey. instead of, like, he called her baby too, but I liked,
I love honey. Babies,
I don't know why. Yeah, baby's overused, so I thought, like, honey was so sweet. But, like, in terms of specific part, I loved that he, when he, they go to Seattle, I think is probably, like,
I was gonna say that. That's actually my yeah. favorite moment. Like,
because it's just, like, he knew what he needed to give her, and he's like, okay, I'll do that. But he's not changing for her, necessarily. No. He's just, like, he's, like, I understand who she is as a person. Like, it's basically, like, kind of, like, an explicitly narrated part of, like, him discovering her love languages. Like, it's not explained that way. Like, that's kind of what he essentially is doing.
And, like, he accepted her for who she was, essentially. Yeah. Yeah. But she didn't take it. Like, she didn't, like... I love that. Like, that was, like, a moment of growth for me, like, for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Oh, 100%. And when she's, like, I would love going to, some, whatever, Pike Place, or, and, like, just watch them, like, throwing the fish. And I actually mean that. Oh, my God. I actually mean that. Like, that's when she starts realizing that she's actually growing, too.
She realizes she didn't have, when she was trying on jeans in the dressing room, she was, like, I didn't have a feeling, the urge to take a selfie.
Yeah, I know.
I also
love girl thing.
Yeah, I loved how sweet he was with Hannah too, mm-hmm. because, like, he knows how important she is to Piper, and so, like, when they move in essentially with him, and, like, he puts the record player in Hannah's room just because he had it and knew she liked that.
Or, like, when he gets the rooms for Seattle, and she's like, "I'm staying with Hannah, obviously," and he was like, "Oh, I already know." Like,
I
love that. Like, I also love that Piper didn't make Hannah feel like a third wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate when that happens. You just feel like, bad for the other person. But she was like, no, I'm staying with my sister still. I know we're together, but I'm staying with my sister. But I guess this is my favorite part. I guess it's, like, not just
what would yours be?
One, but I did love, like, there's, like, two scenes where you see it in the beginning. Like, his love language is clearly, like, acts of service. So when he, like, before they're even dating, and he goes away, and he, like, has somebody go over and cushion the bunk bed or whatever, and he orders it, and he, like,
yes,
that he did something else prior to that,
like, actually,
so cute. And, like, when
he the locks,
what happened?
Yeah, the locks.
He went over and just locks under the doors.
He did it, and he didn't even think he liked her at that point. Like, he just wanted to be safe, and I'm like, that's so.
A moment that, like, okay, I have to say, now that, like, you're bringing up moments, a moment that I loved that was so funny and endearing at the same time, like, I was so embarrassed for him, was when he was out on his, like, fishing trip on the first time, and they're, like, he made an Instagram account.
Right.
He made an Instagram account, and, like, he was like, hey, what do I do now? And, like, he followed her, and she was the only one he followed. Like, I was so embarrassed for him. I was like, no, stop.
And I love that everybody talks about it, and it's just like, wow, what a rookie mistake.
Yeah, like,
take the
what
selfie.
A guy. Yes, the picture. Have
a selfie, they're gonna think you're computer or whatever they said. Wait, I love that.
When he's like, when she takes a picture and he is, like, still, like, pushing it, and he's like, I knew it was fake the whole time, I just wanted to see you smile.
Yeah, I know.
So cute. See, I do like, you know, I think you see it a lot on TikTok, and people are saying, like, I love a boyfriend who does not online, doesn't have any online presence. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if you meet them, sometimes it's like, I want them to have, like, to know who, like, celebrities are.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, mm-hmm. you can't be too offline. But, like, in Brendan's case, it was so endearing. Like, I would love a boyfriend like that who's not online like that. And, like, but I am.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of times it's like a character. I mean, obviously, it still kind of makes sense, but I feel like it's, like, done in an annoying way where it's like, oh.
Like, not pretending, like, not like you're too cool for it kind of thing.
Yeah, like, I don't have social media because I think that social media is just so toxic and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
like, he's just like, he genuinely just, like, never put in the effort to do it. And so he's just like, now, like, I don't fucking know.
I have a question because I have a dilemma with, like, okay, we know he had a first wife, right?
Oh,
I have a dilemma when books kind of, like, downplay the love before to, like, kind of hype up the current love.
Their love. Mm-hmm. Now.
I agree. Yes.
Like, I think that was
not to sound like a stan, but what's funny is Tessa Bailey literally made a TikTok about this recently.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. I'll have to watch it after.
I have to watch
it. Not about this with it happened with Summer, but about like that narrative thing that happens.
Yeah. It's okay to love another person. Like, the person's gone. That doesn't mean like the love is like it's not the same, like, you know what I mean?
When he said that, like, he didn't even feel that way about his ex-wife.
Yeah, like, that kind of
ex-wife that she died, like, I was like, oh, kind of put it bitter.
Yeah, I didn't really like that, not gonna lie. Like, not that I looked at him in a different way, like, I kind of like, all right, I read it and I moved on, but like, yeah. it just made me feel a certain way. Like, why? It's not even like just Tessa. I feel like if in like other books where like this trope is a thing, it's always the same thing where like the guy loves the current person more. Like, it's never like the same amount of love, like, even
you're
if
my
like
whirlwind romance.
Exactly, like, it's yeah. like, even if a guy had like kids with his other wife, like, you know, like the love
oh,
is never
worse.
The love like never amounts to like the current main character, and I feel like it doesn't have to be that way. Like, it could literally be like, I was grieving, but I know that
right place
that
wrong
she would
time.
Exactly, like, she would want me to move on, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that could have been dealt with differently. I didn't really like that it was a thing where like, oh yeah, I didn't really care about her, but I felt like I had to marry her.
And I wasn't expecting that, because for 7 years before that he was still wearing his ring and he went some the thing, so like, I felt like so out of character. And like, okay, I've never been in love, so I'm just attesting to what people say, but you have like different loves in your life, like one's your really great love, like every love is different, and doesn't mean that you love them more, that you love in a different way. Like what he said about his ex-wife, they were like best friends, and it was like the comforting type of love where you just don't feel like you're anxious, like, it's just very comforting, and you're like best friends and you're used to it. Like, that's what their love was, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, his love with Piper is just like a little more on the exciting side. Like, it's not, he gets more butterflies because he's anxious about things. It's something different than what he's used to. Like, that's how they could have phrased it, you know? Like, I felt the same way, Jen, because I was like, his love with his ex-wife seemed sweet, like, they've known each other for years, like,
and then, like, he like downplayed it, and then he made it seem like he was only still not dating because he felt like he owed that to his father-in-law. And that was, for me, that's like, wow, like, it cheapens it, you know? Like, it's...
And when he took his ring off right away, I'm like, you could have taken, like, because before then, Fox was, like, kind of saying, like, you know, like, it's been 7 years, like, you can't be feeling guilty, you need to move on, she wants you to move on, like, it's not about you don't love her, like, kind of going what we're saying right now. And I'm like, you just took your ring off, like, because Piper right away, like, no, you should take it off because it's time.
Exactly. And
like not because Piper. It just felt like, I agree. I kind of didn't like that aspect either.
I do. Now that you guys are saying that, I do definitely agree. I feel like it was one of those things where it was like, as I was reading it, I just like brushed it aside and was just like, whatever. Yeah. But now like thinking about it, I definitely see what you guys are saying. And I did think about the fact that like how Mick was hurt. His father-in-law, like it did like annoy me that he seemed like he was doing this all as just like a favor to him, essentially.
Yeah.
And then at the end when Mick was like rude to Piper,
I hated that. I was so mad for Piper.
Excuse me. Like when they're in the hospital and like he's just like, whoa, like, I can understand, like, the shock, but also at the same time, it has been 7 years, like,
and it's none of your business.
Exactly, yeah. Like, are you gonna expect your, like, son-in-law to just, like, never
I also
experience
feel like
anything again?
That's, like, Brendan's fault, like,
oh, yeah, Brendan should
like,
have
I agree. That he's, like, protective over his daughter, and, like, I feel like from those 7 years, like, he thought, like, I feel like it just happened so fast. He never talked to Mick about it. Like, could have spoke with him, considering like they have that thing every year. He obviously openly wore the ring still. I just felt like he probably felt protective, like it's his daughter. So I give him slack. And he obviously after he felt bad, like he knew he never should have said it. He was in the wrong. But
yeah,
I was like, if he just would have like communicated to him, like, and even just like what he's been feeling, like it wasn't just Piper, but he felt guilty, like, you can have that conversation and he wouldn't feel that way. Like, he has to know. But to him, he probably felt like blindsided. He probably never, and it is his daughter. So I could see it in that way. But I just feel like it could have been avoided if he just spoke to him. Mm-hmm. Like, communication's easy. Like, just speak.
Yeah, like, he didn't put that boundary from the beginning. So then it didn't, it just cycled.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, that's definitely true. And I feel like, especially, you would think, like, from how Brendan described the relationship, him and Mick, like, that communication would have been there. But at the same time, from how they are, like, as characters, it kind of does make sense that the communication wasn't there. Like, it doesn't seem like,
I agree, either of them, about their feelings like that.
Exactly. Neither of them are people who are going to talk about the feelings. So neither of them are going to talk about their grief and how they feel losing their daughter versus losing their wife and yada, yada, yada. But what I did love also was her reconnection with her grandma, just like speaking of grieving and stuff. Yes. I thought that was so sweet. And when she calls her grandma, like, after, like, getting her done up and everything, and then, like, Opal just looks at her and is like, and then just gives her a big hug and says, thank you. Like,
I know.
That broke my heart. That was so, so, so sweet.
One thing that kind of made me upset, and I just wish we would have gotten, like, some kind of, like, story with this. Like, I couldn't see her mom, the way her mom acted, like, concerning the father. Like, and I was also confused, but, like, so I know, like, they were around when the father was around when they were younger and stuff, and then he died.
But, like, he died when Piper was four.
Yeah. So is that why, like, they always, I'm just confused, like, where does the mother's distaste come from the father and, like, the whole lifestyle? Like, I just felt like, to not back to further the child, her daughter's, like, opening of the bar, and even, like, making it back, like, made me upset. I'm like, I wish that would have, like, had a full circle.
I agree. I do wish her mom had gone, like, when I read this scene where, like, they invited Daniel and he's like, oh no, your mom doesn't want to go back, like, blah, 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 blah. I even read it and I was like, oh, she's definitely going to go back though. Like, I know, like, Daniel's going to show up and, like, there's going to be the party. And then, like, all of a sudden her mom's going to walk in and they're going to be like, oh my God, like, you're back, blah, 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 blah. But then it was like, LOL, JK, Daniel canceled.
And she hid Opal from, like, she didn't tell them about the grandmother. Like, I'm like,
ugh. That made me so mad. Yeah. Like, yeah. I felt so bad for Opal. Like, it sucks that she literally, like, I understand her name was Maureen, right? Maureen?
Yes.
Yeah. I understand that, like, it was too hard for her to stay and she had to move. But just the fact that, like, she deprived the kids of, like, their roots, mm-hmm. you know, like, their family. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I can't stand. And I don't know. It just makes me feel a certain way.
And yeah. Opal doesn't just lose her son, she loses her grandchildren,
her whole family.
Like, that's just, like, so I hated that, and I hate, like, that was never addressed. Like, mother's an asshole, fuck you. It makes me so mad. I feel like, to see how far, like, Piper came and, like, you couldn't support her, or, like, even, I feel like her connection with her family wasn't there, and, like, besides Hannah, obviously, but I was, like, made me upset. Like, and also fuck her friends from home, Kirby. Like,
oh, I know.
Like, what the hell?
The party with, like, the unicorn and stuff at the end with her, like, going up on a unicorn and he's just there. That killed me. Which also, that reminded me of something I thought was funny. And I was gonna say this before when you mentioned the butt stuff, Ren. I like at the end of, like, those moments when it's just like, so are we just, like, gonna talk about the finger thing? And then, like, when he did her butt stuff, she's like, so are we just not gonna talk about the tongue thing? And then with the unicorn, so we're just not gonna talk about the unicorn.
I did love that.
I thought that was funny. Like, that was, it was a little, like, repetitive thing that I thought was funny. Okay, well, I think it's kind of a given at this point. I probably would recommend this book. And by probably, I mean, I would 100% recommend this book. Well, to a certain crowd. I don't think I would recommend this, like, given how Ren is right now. If Ren was like, hey, what book should I read? I wouldn't be like, It Happened One Summer. And that's just because I know how rom-coms are with you right now. Like, you're not, it's not the vibe. Mm-hmm. So if I had other friends were
rom-coms. It's not the vibe, stop.
If I had other friends where I know rom-coms were the vibe, I wouldn't be like, oh, It Happened One Summer. But overall, I would recommend the book. How would you guys feel?
I mean, I think I was the first one to read this book.
You were, from us.
Yeah, I definitely would recommend this.
You're the first one ever to read the book.
Yeah, ever.
First reader of all time.
Tessa Bailey, you know, give me an arc. Just kidding.
You literally, you're on that check. Your publisher.
Exactly. No, I would definitely recommend this book. And I personally would recommend any Tessa Bailey book because I love her writing. I love the contemporary writing that she does. Chef's kiss. Yes, recommend 100%. Ren, your turn.
I feel like, yeah, I would recommend, but let me just explain. I feel like even if I'm not obsessed.
You wouldn't. With the book, you can say it.
No, I would. So I'm explaining. Like, even though I'm not obsessed with the book, I'll always recommend it because, like, if I, like, I'm like, just because it's like not my thing doesn't mean it's not somebody else's. And it wasn't it wasn't a horrible book, obviously. Like, I would never recommend
it. It was a horrible book.
But, yeah, like, what a sales pitch. Unless it's horrible, I'm not recommending it. But even if I don't like a book and I'm like, but it wasn't bad, just it wasn't my vibe, I'll recommend it. So, yeah, of course, I'll recommend
it. Especially like, if it's like a popular book.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my friend Megan, I love you, Meg. I hope you're listening. She's listened to every episode, but she's like,
hi, Meg.
A huge supporter of the podcast and a great friend. But she loves rom coms too. And she loves Schitt's Creek. And when she saw this, she was like,
yup.
Tell her to read the book.
I'm so excited to read this book.
Tell her to read the book.
So yeah, she literally was like, what's next? And then I told her and she's like, oh my God, that's a Schitt's Creek book. I'm going to read it. So yeah, obviously somebody who likes Schitt's Creek is like, what book should I read? I'd be like, oh, perfect book for you. Like, you know what I'm saying? So of course I'd recommend it to people. And Tessa Bailey, I love, deserves all the support. She's like so sweet on TikTok and yeah, I love a nice author who like
spilled.
Yeah, so yeah, of course I'd recommend it.
Yeah, you can catch the next episode on Monday, April 18th at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be discussing Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid. So make sure you listen to some Fleetwood Mac and feel the 70s, 80s vibe for next week, baby. Woo!
You can follow us on our socials at Boozy Book Talk Pod on Instagram and TikTok. And you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or pretty much anywhere podcasts are available. Also, make sure to subscribe and give us a review. And be sure to follow us on our individual Goodreads and Bookstagrams.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers.
Cheers.